This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 187. This is the Spider-Man Homecoming, starring Tom Holland. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Homecoming?
I don't know. Not too long. It's fairly recent. So I saw this at the theater, think twice. I know I saw it at an early screening. I remember that. I went to an advanced screening of it. I don't rewatch the MCU too often because I've seen them all, I feel like, a lot of times. So I don't dip back in too often. So it's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it last year. But the difference between this one, which it has the advantage over the other movies, is the fact that now this is inside the MCU, where the other two was not. That was their own trilogies. This is now into a bigger storyline, a bigger universe than the other Spider-Mans. But with that said, let's check out what the critics and the audience have to say about Spider-Man Homecoming. Neat.
Well, you know what? This week's episode, we're in for a treat according to these critic scores, because both movies we're doing this week are pretty high. This one sits at a 92% critic score and an 87% audience. So pretty much across the board, well-reviewed, regular folks liked it, critics liked it. This is up there with, I think, like Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 1, as far as one of the highest critic scores at 92. So pretty good reviews.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're going to take those. We're going to throw it to the side. And now it's time to give you guys our actual movie reviews for Spider-Man Homecoming from 2017. Starting off with lead character Tom Holland, first time as Peter Parker / Spider-Man. Nate.
Yeah, five. I mean,
okay.
I truly... Now, and especially rewatching these all, you know, week after week after week after week, it helps put into perspective what I've kind of held true the last couple years. I think Tom Holland is the best package as far as Spider-Man is concerned. I think he nails Peter Parker better than Toby and better than Andrew. One, because he looks much younger than them. He feels like a high school student, and he's not as... He just has the look. Like, he just looks to me like Peter Parker, like a teenage Peter Parker. And then as Spider-Man, he carries over that sense of humor. He has the jokes. He has the, he really is the total package. Whereas I think Garfield, I'll put it this way. I think Tobey Maguire, they were all good. I don't have a problem with any of them. But I think Tobey might be the most overrated. I think Andrew might be the most underrated. But I think Tom is the perfect balance. Like, he is right there in the sweet spot. I think he's fantastic. And I like this version of Peter. You know, when we rank these, we're supposed to be ranking the character, not just the actor. The actor helps. If they're great and it brings it to life, that's great. But the character is very well written. One thing I like here is we don't get an origin story. Like, he is Spider-Man. When this movie starts, he's already experienced Captain America Civil War, that whole thing. Even at the beginning, you know, has that funny little, like, his home movie of what happened at that, which I like. But you're thrown right in. We don't have an Uncle Ben. We don't have to watch him die. We don't watch him get bit by the spider. We're not bogged down with all the origin story crap. So they just throw you right in. You know, he has a best friend in Ned who's different than Harry. And I like him a lot as a side character. I enjoy him. I think they have a good, like, dynamic, the two of them. And you get a totally different love interest. For one, no Gwen, no MJ. Just a totally different character. I dug it. I think he's great. I gave him a 5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that one. I gave him a 5 also. I think you're right. I mean, you said everything. He is the perfect balance between Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Again, this is a different rendition of the other two Spider-Mans. The other ones basically were retelling the same story, but in different versions of the story, whether one was modern, the other one's trying to be comic accurate. Now, this one is getting thrown into a bigger universe. So they gave you a 5-minute origin story in Civil War. For those of you out there that are not watching the MCU timeline, if you watch Civil War, there's a 5-minute Spider-Man origin. And then this one just continues what the other one left off. So I thought it was a genius move for people that are Spider-Man fans. They gave you 5-minute head start pretty much. And then they kind of finished it off here. You're right. I think the element here is that Tom Holland looked super young. The cast was all young. They all felt high school. And I think it worked very well. And the only thing that I have nitpick wise would be Aunt May being really hot looking. That was a little bit.
Marissa Tomei is just.
Yeah, she was beautiful. Yeah. But I kind of understand why they went down that route. Because
it led to a lot of good jokes, though. It led to a lot of funny jokes throughout her time in the, you know, in the MCU.
They did. Well, and the difference between this movie, and I mean, we're going to continue going with the storyline, but the difference between this movie and another one, there was a bigger star co-leading with Spider-Man. You have Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man into the fold. Again, this is in a bigger universe than the other two movies. So that comes to a factor also in terms of fan base and everything. So with that said, we'll talk about that during storyline because that's a big storyline plot also. So with that said, I gave it a 5. You gave it a 5. Main villain. Okay. Vic, what's his name?
The Adrian Toomes, the Vulture. Yeah. Michael Keaton. So look, I love Michael Keaton. Casting. I give the casting a 5 out of 5. I think that was a great choice. He's always a hero. You know, he's freaking Batman. You know what I mean? So to get him to play your villain in an older age, I'm for it. Now, do I think the Vulture is a great villain? No. I think he's fine. I think he's good. I think he's really good. I gave him a 4. He's just not as, especially in this franchise, everything up to this, not always, but they have had some real heavy hitter villains, I feel like. You know, Green Goblin, super memorable. Doc Ock, super memorable. Lizard, not so much. Electro was cool. Like, then this feels like a second tier to me. And it's a second tier villain. If we're being honest, the Vulture is not like a top tier Spider-Man villain. You know what I mean? Doc Ock is, Green Goblin is, Venom is, you know, Carnage, something like that. Those are kind of like the upper tier. And then he has like that second tier. And I think Vulture falls into that for me. What I do like, though, I do like that they tied in. They gave him a little bit of a backstory at the beginning. He's the one who gets the origin, if anything, in this movie. You know what I mean? And what I like about him is that his job ties into his what he is, right? Because he's a vulture in that he is a guy who cleans up scraps from this. The whole thing in New York happens with the Avengers. His group is hired to come in and clear out the debris and all that. And isn't that pretty much what a vulture does? But with dead animals, you know, it comes up and picks up the scraps. So I do like that element. I like that they tied that into the character. Now, I thought Michael Keaton's performance was great. I love the scene when he's dropping them off at the homecoming dance and they're talking in the car. You can see him putting it together like, hold on a second. Every time you're somewhere, you disappear. He's listening to his daughter. And then he has the gun and he's holding it on the car, but Peter can't see it. I love it when he tells him, like, he makes him say, thank you. It's like, I saved your life. What do you say? And he's like, thank you. It's the best. I love that line. But as a overall villain, I mean, I don't think that the Vulture is super cool. He got like mechanical wings. He looks pretty cool in this movie. At least they didn't give him like feathers, like in the comic book. I think a really good villain. I save my 5. We already know here. I save my 5 for the elite. He's not elite to me, but he is very good. A 4.
You know, I agree with everything you say, but I'm going to give him a 5. I think he's an elite villain. I'm going to be honest with you. If you really look at the entire franchise as a whole, the only advantage that he doesn't have compared to the other ones that everyone is memorable for is that he's not the main Spider-Man villain as the Goblin, the Green Goblin, or Doc Ock. Like, those are the big guys, right?
Yeah.
You know what? Marvel did a great job making the Vulture up to the par with those guys because they put Michael Keaton in that shoe. And I think if it was somebody else, I don't think he would have been what he was in that movie. You know what I mean? I think that performance is what catapulted me to give him a 5. Because I was so invested in him, even in the beginning of in the movie, when he's getting all the scraps from all the demolished from New York from the Avengers first movie. And they were like, well, you guys can't do it. And then the guy was like, well, you should have not, you know, the guy who had that smart ass remark and he just punched him in the face. And he was just like, yo, I was like, I honestly was rooting for him in this movie. Like, I was just like, you know what, man? I was like, Tony Stark is a dick. Like, you know, he didn't think of the everyday people. He just thought of himself and the Avengers and whatever. No. I understand. But I'm just saying
Look what it led to.
Right. What it led to. But you know what? He's the one that pushed it to villainy. You know, like, that's the thing. Like, you're always going to have a villain story. But I thought it was a pretty cool way to make him a villain. I thought it was better than Sandman's.
Better than Sandman.
You know, I don't know. I just felt like it was a heartfelt, like, I didn't feel bad for him, but I kind of felt bad for him. Like, damn, like, he was just like, you know, I got to do what I got to do. I mean, that's why I gave him a 5. Because if you look at all the other scenes, like, he was pretty much helping his friends out, his crew.
So here's my thing with him. One, I don't disagree with anything you said, but one thing I always hate, well, not hate, but that I have an issue with, like, if anything, he's an Iron Man, like, he hates Tony Stark. He doesn't even hate Spider-Man, really, until Spider-Man ruins one of his little, you know, like where he's trying to steal. So his issue is not even with really the main character of this movie until the third act, which for me is like, okay. And also he's like, he's a arms dealer and that's about it. You know, he salvages this stuff. They sell weapons on the black market to criminals. Like, it's cool, but I don't know. For me, it's just not. But I do agree with your assessment of the performance. I think Keaton is someone else. I don't know if it's as interesting to watch. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Yeah, I mean, but you said it there, right? Like, I mean, if it wasn't for Spider-Man, this would have continued going on. But the fact that Spider-Man kept unfolding all his stuff. I mean, he was getting annoyed until he figured out it was Peter Parker. Like, he was just like, oh, damn. Like, he's an actual kid. But, like he said in one of the scenes, he was like, you know, if he tells whatever, now we have the Avengers coming down on us also, which that's what he did not want. It's just like Thor and the Hulk. So he was like trying to stop Spider-Man. Because he's like, geez, what more can we do? But honestly, I give it a 5 because I think this is, it was the bread and butter of this movie, to be honest with you. Besides Spider-Man, of course. But I think he did a great job also. All right. Action scenes.
They're good. They're good. Again, listen. They're good. Again, listen. Again, listen. I reserved my rights for my 5s, especially in the top 3 categories. Always. And the action's good. It's a 4. I honestly, like right now, if you held a gun to my head and said, which Marvel MCU movies have a 5 out of 5 action? There's only like 3 to me that have that level of action. Like, they're all good. None of them are particularly horrible. Maybe like, I don't like the action in Captain Marvel. I think that's pretty bad. But like, the action is good. It's good, but it has a limit because it doesn't, like, for example, this movie, a lot of the action, not a lot, a good amount, there's like humor in it. You know what I mean? Like, there's some laughs that are done. But like, what do we get here? We get him like climbing the Washington Monument. That scene it's cool, but is it like the greatest thing? No. I don't really like the last action scene on the plane. Like, the whole thing with it's all dark. It's nighttime. I'm not crazy about it. I do like the scenes. I like a lot of the action scenes. I like the scene on the ferry. I think that one's pretty fun. Where he's trying to keep it together. But like, I just feel like the MCU action, there's only, like I said, tops 4 or 5 movies that I would personally give a 5 to. This ain't one of them, but the action's really good. It's well shot, except for I don't think the last scene's that well shot again. I think it's too dark, but I don't like nighttime action scenes.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy unless it's lit in a certain way. And I don't like how this one was lit. So it's a 4 for me. I think it's strong, but I don't think it's like the most amazing or anything like that.
No, when it comes to action, I give it a 4.5. I do agree with you when it comes to action comic book movies. It's really hard to say what's action because it's not a full-fledged action movie unless it's like Captain America or Winter Soldier. I mean, that was straight up action.
That's one of the ones that would get a 5. Or when we did Man of Steel, like that's a 5. Like that is next level epic. Nothing in this was so epic as far as action goes, you know?
I will say is it had great action set pieces that you're like, holy crap. Like you said, the fairy scene is like one of the best scenes I think I've seen in a comic book movie in a long time in terms of how it developed. Like everything breaking apart and he's trying to fight it off. I agree. I mean, the Washington Monument was actually pretty cool. I thought that was actually a cool sequence. The fight with him and Shocker, and I thought that was funny when he was like, Shocker. Like, you're a pro wrestler. He's like, what is with the Shocker business?
But wrestler? Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. I mean, when he gets punched on the bus and he's flipping over and the guy keeps punching it, I thought that was cool. You're absolutely right. The scene at the end, it was fun. It was a fun sequence. I had a little nitpicks there, here and there, because I'm like, okay, he cannot withstand those winds. Like, I was just like a little thrown up. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
he's wearing like his old suit, his original like hoodie, pretty much.
Yes. If it was the Tony Stark suit without some of the gadget, like Tony Stark shuts the shit down, I would say, okay, cool. But it was like his bare bone suit. Like, I was just like, oh man, I'm like, this dude could have been sucked out, like out the plane quick. But it was like, look, it is what it is. I mean, him moving the plane before it crashes to the buildings and he's yanking on the thing and it crashes. And I was just like, all right, it was a cool sequence. I'm not saying it's a horrible sequence. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I like when he fought Vulture. I mean, it was a semi fight there. But my favorite scene in this whole movie is when Vulture crashed the roof on him and he realizes that he is Spider-Man without the suit. Like, he didn't need the suit to become a hero.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, you felt that shit when he was like, someone help me. And I was like, oh man. I was like, bro, you're like a little kid. And I liked it because that's exactly what he is. He's a kid. And he realizes he tried to do too much and he couldn't. But he overcome it. And I was like, that is actually pretty cool. So With that said, like I said, I gave it a 4.5. I think the action set pieces were actually really good in this movie. CGI worked actually really well in this movie between the practical, non-practical. I thought it worked great. So with that said, storyline.
Oh, now this I do give a 5. I'll give a 5 to the story. I think this is about as good as you can hope for a third version of a character, of a superhero character. Because we already had, we had the original, then we had a reboot. Now we have the re-reboot. You know what I mean? Like, and what I love about it is this feels like they, the one aspect that I've complained about in the other two is there's not enough high school. This is a high school character. This is a high school movie with Spider-Man in it. It feels like a John Hughes 80s movie. You know, it's funny. I watched The Breakfast Club on Saturday, and then I watched this later in the day on Saturday. And I'm not saying they're similar, but what I'm saying is there's vibes. You could tell the writers of this movie were fans of those 80s and 90s high school movies, because a lot of this is pretty much when he's not doing Spider-Man stuff, like he's at school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is with his friend. He's in the, I love all the stuff like with the Washington trip. Like they're going on a school trip and he's going away from the school trip. And I like the character. Like I love the African kid who like always rings the bell every time he talks. It's every time it's funny. It's so funny where I think Flash says something. He just hits the bell. And he's like, wrong. It cracks me up every time. I like the teacher. Martin Starr plays the teacher of the like the decathlon people. He's funny. So I love, honestly, I love all the non-Spider-Man stuff in this movie. I love the Peter Parker stuff. And for me, that makes the Spider-Man stuff better because now I'm more invested in him as a character. I'm more invested in the people around him. Aunt May, gorgeous. Marissa Tomei. I mean, I love Marissa Tomei, but she's great. And she's funny. Like she's a good Aunt May. You could tell they have a good relationship because she's a little younger. She's not like 90 years old. You know what I mean? So they, I like their dynamic. Like I said, I like him and Ned. I like their dynamic. I do like the Vulture's story. You know, I like the twist at the end that he's the dad of the girl that Spider-Man like has a huge crush on and all that. I think that's really good. I don't think there's really any flaws with the script necessarily. I think it's funny. The jokes work for me. I love the thing like with the churro where he's talking about the lady. He helped the old lady in Queens and she gave him a churro. And then he's like, why did I mention the churro? Like little things like that. Really funny. He's constantly calling Happy. Like it all worked for me. I gave the story a 5.
Yeah, look, everything you said, I'm just going to elaborate a little bit on top of that. But everything you said is right. I gave it a 5 also. The storyline is really good. And again, what helps this movie and in terms of the storyline is the fact that is attached to the MCU. I think that was the powerhouse of this because, again, Tony Stark is in this movie. And I think that's what helped sell this movie. I mean, I know everyone's going to be, oh, but Spider-Man. No. The Robert Downey Jr. was really high at that time, and they needed to put his face into the Spider-Man movie. Does it work for some? I know a lot of people hated the whole Iron Spider-Man thing going. Not many people liked it at all. I enjoyed it for what it was. I enjoyed the Tony Starks in this movie. I thought it was funny. I thought it fit with the storyline. I thought it worked very well. In terms of the storyline, I love when he messed with Happy. He kept calling him. I love the whole him recording everything like a journal. I thought that whole sequence was actually really cool and it was actually really funny. I love when he puts the camera and goes, that's Black Widow. That's Captain America. And then you hear, on the roof.
Yeah.
He puts and he goes, down, I'll be like, right back. And then he goes, and then you see the giant throws him and you see the camera. You see, oh!
Yeah.
I thought that was funny stuff.
I like just with Ant-Man, he's like, oh, he's giant now. Like all of a sudden he's huge. And then he goes,
I'll be right back. And then you see the camera look up and you see him thrown across. Like stuff like that I enjoyed and I like. And I think that's what made it was a special moment. People got to realize too, this is the first time Sony allowed another company to take their character and being used in a movie. Sony kind of owned the property. They allowed Marvel to take the character and put it into the MCU. And I think it helped humongous. Mm-hmm. I think it worked very well. I love the Happy. That thing was so funny. Again, the entire movie was flowed very well. There was no dead spots, man. At all. There was no dead spots. I thought it worked very well. There was a lesson to be learned here. That the Spider-Man suit was about, what was it? Tony Stark said it the best. It's like,
if you're nothing without the suit, then you don't need it. Like you don't need to wear it. And I love the scene where he's in the thing and he's talking with Jennifer Connelly. She does the voice of the suit, which is funny because you remember Paul Bettany did the voice of Jarvis and they're married in real life. So that was kind of funny. They both played like AIs, but when he's talking with her,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. He's talking with her and then she's like, how long have we been here? And she's like, 37 minutes. And he's like, what? Like, he thought it'd been hours. It's so funny.
And I love the whole, like, he goes, do you want me to put interrogation? And he goes, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, his set to kill.
Interrogation mode is so funny.
He goes, no, not kill. Not kill. The suit. And you saw the eyes turn red for the kill mode. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, it has so many, so like 250 like different variations of web shooting. And he goes, man, Tony went very overboard. I thought, look, everything worked very well. Spot on. I gave it, like I said, I gave it a 5 overall.
I'm glad you mentioned interrogation mode is one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie with Donald Glover. Yeah. He's like, where's the thing? He's like, you might be a girl. I'm not a girl. I'm a boy. I mean, I'm a man. It's so funny. Yeah, overall, 4.5 for me. It's a 9 out of 10. You know, my brain, I always think on 10. So it's not a perfect 10 out of 10. Although it does have a great storyline, and I think Tom Holland is great. As far as an action movie goes, the action's really good. The villain's cool, but, you know, I think just it's really good. I don't have too many, you know, problems with it, but I don't think it transcends to the 10 level for me. But yeah, I think it's a great intro into the MCU. Using Tony Stark was smart. Now, of course, all these Spider-Man movies have a MCU cameo. I think that's part of the deal pretty much with Sony and Disney working together on these movies. Like, Sony gets the bump by having these characters from the MCU show up in their movies, and Marvel gets to use Spider-Man in their movies. That's kind of like the deal that they have. So I thought the stuff with Tony worked. He almost functions as like an Uncle Ben type role for this, you know, Parker. He gives him a lot of advice. He's like, he's not throughout the whole movie. He has like, he's in like 4 or 5 scenes. But he's always that kind of older guy, mentor type character. So I liked it. 4.5 for me.
Yeah, look, when it comes to overall 4.5, I agree with you on that one. It's an excellent Spider-Man movie. I'm not going to compare him to the other Spider-Man movies because it's not right. This is part of a most famous storyline. And, you know, it's part of a bigger universe than those other two movies. Now, when we talk about No Way Home, those characters do come in. Then we'll talk about that. But in terms of putting this movie compared to the first Spider-Man with Tobey and Andrew Garfield's amazing Spider-Man, that is one of the wrong thing to do, because the powerhouse in this one is Tony Stark's. Like, that would blow any of those two movies out the water. Yeah. So I can't personally put those in the same league with each other. But the other two, I would. Amazing Spider-Man versus the Spider-Man, that I would do all day. But I can't throw in Tom Holland. It's really unfair in this situation. But yeah, in terms of overall, 4.5 total points.
Total points for me comes out to a 22.5. Very strong. Ooh. I've always liked this movie. I always rank it high when I do like if someone asks me like, what's your overall Spider-Man rankings? This is way up there towards the top. I do think it's a really, really good movie. I like all the cast in it, really. And it's a lot of fun. So 22.5 for me.
Yeah, well, look, when it comes to me, 24. Out of a 25.
Nice.
I like this movie a lot. I'm not going to give away where this falls between the other two movies, but I'll say this one is really high up there. It's one of my favorites. Michael Keaton sold it to me off the bat. I mean, my man's Beetlejuice, so you got to see a little Beetlejuice up in this piece being a little vulture. So I kind of liked it. I thought it worked very well. But other than that, Nate, what is coming up next?
All right. So next episode, we're wrapping it up. We're wrapping up our cruising with Tom month. So our last Tom Cruise movie, Little Edge of Tomorrow, will be coming up on our next episode. And then starting next week, our middle Spider-Man of the Tom Holland Spider-Man Far From Home. That's going to be the next. And that was one that was, you know, this was prior to the Infinity War. That one is post Endgame. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens with this character. So next week, that'll be the first of our 2 podcasts.
Yeah. So again, guys, if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for our video versions of the podcast, or head over to our official website, www.geeksandflicks.com, where you have all the podcasts from number 1 all the way up to 187 there for you to watch or listen to. Or you can listen to or watch. And then, of course, you got the merch. You got the Action Movie Guys t-shirts, Geeks and Flicks t-shirts. If you want to support the channel, all the money goes back to the channel. And, of course, you can become a patron and watch behind the scenes of making of your favorite episodes. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.